Our scripture reading today, as we go into the second part of the series called Faith in Action, comes from a well-known passage in John chapter 13. I'm not going to read all the verses. I'm going to read 1 to 5 and then from 14 to 17 with you. And I'm reading from the NIV today. John 13, it was just before the Passover festival. Jesus knew that the hour had come for him to leave this world and to go to the Father. Having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. The evening meal was in progress, and the devil had already prompted Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot, to betray Jesus. Jesus knew that the Father had put all things under his power, and that he had come from God and was returning to God. So he got up from the meal, took off his outer clothing, and wrapped a towel around his waist. And after that, he poured water into a basin and began to wash his disciples' feet, drying them with a towel that was wrapped around him. And then verse 14, Jesus says, "Now that I, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also should wash one another's feet. I set you an example that you should do as I have done. Very truly, I tell you, no servant is greater than his master, nor is the messenger greater than the one who sent him. Now that you know these things, you will be blessed if you do them." So, there's an old Jewish legend that says the rabbi was with his students, and then the students asked the rabbi this question. He said, "Rabbi, when do we know that the darkness is gone and that the day is broken?" Rabbi, being a wise old teacher as he was, he put the question back to them and said, "Well, you tell me, what do you think?" The one says, "Oh, I know, it's when the rooster crows." Rabbi says, "But the rooster doesn't always crow at the same time." Another one says, "Oh, I think I know, it's when you can see the difference between the sheep and the dog." Rabbi said, "So let's say the dog is close and the sheep is far." And so they went on and on, each one trying to give the answer. Until the end, they were all done and they said, "We don't know, what would you say?" Rabbi looked at them and he said, "The night is gone and the day is broken. When you are able to see someone's face and recognize them. Darkness is gone. When I can see someone's face and recognize them." I start this way because somehow I think that the disciples in the story that we read this morning, somehow the disciples have not seen the daybreak yet. They're still in the dark, and they don't see the faces. So walk through the story with me a little bit, but let me give you a little bit of background to what happened before we get to the upper room. So you can read this in Matthew, starts at chapter 18 to 20, and then in Mark chapter 10, you can go read the same story. So Jesus tells them, "We're on our way to Jerusalem, and the kingdom of God is coming." And of course, in their minds, immediately they see a physical kingdom, Jesus on the throne, and of course, they're going to have all the seats around Jesus. But they start bickering amongst each other. Which one of them is going to have the most important place? They even get one of their mothers involved to kind of organize a place for them in this kingdom. Bickering continues until they're in Jerusalem. And I can, in my mind's eye, I can hear them going at each other. This is not written anywhere. This is just me and my mind thinking. Nathaniel said, "Listen, of course it's going to be me. I'm the oldest, I'm the wisest, I've been there the longest. It's going to be me." And John says, "Not so fast, but you know that I'm the beloved disciple and I spent a lot of time with Jesus." Maybe Peter had a little bit of a smirk on his face when he said, "Who do you think has got the keys? Who's got the keys?" Or maybe James said, "You all have it wrong. You know that Jesus is my brother. It's a family business. Of course it's going to be me." But that's just me playing a little bit. So this is the background. And then the next movement is into the upper room. The evening meal is prepared. So the meal is there, there's a basin with water, there's a towel, And they all come in and they kind of go lean down as they do, lying on their left arms, ready for the dinner, but something has to happen. The feet has to be washed. You say, why wash feet, not hands? Well, remember how this works, right? So they walk in 40 degrees Celsius heat, and it's dust, wearing their leather sandals. You know there's chemical processes that take place, right? So now you take off your sandals, and now you're lying there with, on your left arm, with your feet at the next guy's nose. So it's toes and nose, and toes and nose. So why do we wash feet? You get where I'm going. But there's an interesting little twist in the story. There's a basin and a towel, but there is no one to wash the feet, because usually the feet would be washed by some servant or slave, because other people didn't do that. And they're all waiting. Remember the bickering. Who's the most important? No one gets up. Jesus gets up, takes the basin, the towel, washes their feet. And the moment he does that, he turns their world upside down. Let me explain. In their world, they're important, they are the people, and then below them are the servants, and the servants and the slaves are the ones that will wash their feet and do all these little things. But not them. And then, the one who is even above them, Jesus, gets up, turns it upside down, and he becomes the servant and the slave, and he washes their feet. The moment he does that, he challenges them. Challenges the way in which they look at each other, the way in which they look at the world, the way in which they look at other people. And that's why when he's done, he says to them, so you call me Lord and Master, and that's what I am. And I've just turned the world upside down, and I've washed your feet. I am giving you an example that you should follow, and you should wash each other's feet as well. That word example in Greek gives a word, hypodeikma, which actually means a pattern. So you know how we work with a pattern, right? You want to make a dress, you go buy a pattern, and you work according to the pattern. By following that, you make exactly the dress as it should be. Jesus says, here's the pattern. World upside down. You want to be the best? No, you need to be the servants. I've given you an example that you should follow. Wash each other's feet, because in a moment you wash feet, you go down and you look up, and you will start seeing each other's face. And then your faith is not just a lot of words, but then your faith becomes an action. In which I serve, in which I live, in which I do. And then those words in verse 17. Now that you know these things, you are blessed if you do them. Faith means I act and I do. I don't just sit and wait and come wash my feet. I am the one who gets up, goes down, and washes feet. Here's the thing. How do we wash feet? How do we become blessed? Because you see, to be blessed means to be enviably happy and spiritually so rich with life's joys. It doesn't mean going to heaven. It means I'm spiritually prosperous and enviably happy with life's joys. How do I get to that place? How do I wash feet? I think three things need to happen. The first thing that needs to happen. We need to live attentively with each other and considering towards each other. Attentively and considering. That's something that the disciples just did not do. They didn't pay attention to each other. They didn't consider each other. Sometimes I think they didn't even pay attention to Jesus, to really what he was doing. Here he has to do this, although he's been teaching them for so long. And here's the problem, my friends. It's all about me, myself, and I. It's about me. And then I pay no attention to others, and I don't consider others, as long as it's me, and I'm okay, and things will work well for me. But that's not faith in action. But unfortunately, we see that. We see that in the workplace. We see that at home. We see that even in the church. So when Jesus does this, it's to get their attention and to say, how do you live attentively and considerately towards each other so that you can start seeing other people's faces? Because here's the thing. I'm sure if Jesus said, anyone here want to wash my feet, they would be falling over their own feet, pun intended, to get to Jesus first and show how cool they are to wash his feet. But they didn't remember Matthew 25, did they? Where Jesus said, I was hungry and you gave me food. And I was naked and you gave me clothes. And I was in jail and you visited me. And it's like, oh, when did we do that? When you did that to the least of mine. We want to wash Jesus' feet. We start by doing it to the least of them. Because the moment we go down on our knees and we start giving attention and we consider and we look up, we see their faces and we see Jesus' face. And we do the same in all the things we do, my friends. Driving home from work, picking up the phone. I got off a little early from work. Don't worry about the kids' piano lesson. I'll pick them up for you. I see you had a tough day today. Don't worry about dinner. I'm going to cook dinner. Here's the remote. How about you pick what we watch this evening? If we want to put our faith in action, and we want to come from the dark into the light and see the faces and recognize the faces, we need to live attentively and considerately. Second thing that needs to happen, we need to empty ourselves of ourselves. My friends, and that the disciples need that. Do we need that? Boy, were they full of themselves. Are we often so full of ourselves? But let me read what Paul says about Jesus and about this. It's washing feet and being servant. Philippians 2, verse 5. Think of yourselves the way that Christ Jesus thought of himself. He had equal status with God, but didn't think so much of himself that he had to cling to the advantages of that status no matter what. Not at all. When the time came, he set aside the privileges of deity and took on the status of a slave. Became human. Having become human, he stayed human. It was an incredibly humbling process, and he didn't claim special privileges. Instead, he lived a selfless, obedient life, and then died a selfless, obedient death. The worst kind of death of all, the crucifixion. Paul says, follow the example of Jesus and empty yourselves of yourselves. Here was Jesus, who was God, and he did not cling to that deity. Here is Jesus, who lived in heaven with God, and he didn't cling to that. But Jesus came into this world, became a human being like you and like me, so that he could wash our feet. So that he could wash our bodies and cleanse our lives with his blood. Gave himself as a servant and died as a servant on the cross and emptied himself so that we can be fulfilled in him. So Paul gives a warning in verse 4. Don't push your way to the front. Don't sweet talk your way to the top. Put yourself aside and help others get ahead. See, my friends, this attitude of emptying yourself manifests itself in so many ways, even in the smallest things. In the way that I stand in line, hey, but I see you only have one thing that you want to pay for. I have a whole shopping cart. Come on, jump the line, come ahead of me. Listening to my children, even if they might be wrong. Even if I don't understand them and they don't understand me, emptying myself of my fullness and allowing them to speak. Loving people and emptying myself of who I am. See, that's so countercultural. We're talking, get ahead. If your ship hasn't come in, go swim out and go get the ship. You take care of yourself. You make sure that you're the head of the pack. And you go do this. And Christ says, look at me. Where will you find me? You'll find me with the poor and the naked and the empty and the struggling and the hurting and the needy and the lame and those in the periphery. Because that's how faith in action looks like. It's not full of me. We need to do. We also need to displace ourselves. And that's what Jesus did. He just displaced them. They lived in this very middle of the society where it was all top up, going up, going up, going up. And Jesus says, no. In the kingdom of God, we go down and we serve down and we displace ourselves. You know what displace means? It means to take yourself from that proper, ordinary place. That's what the dictionary says. So instead of being up there, I come down. And Jesus says, go walk on water. And I said, I can't do that. And he says, move, displace yourself. Forgive that person, but look what they said. Move, displace yourself. Come follow me, but what about my father and my mother? Displace yourself, because here's what happens. When I displace myself, God has the opportunity to transform. Faith becomes a faith that is in action. And I walk from the darkness and I walk into the light and I see the face. But more than that, I recognize you because I see Jesus in you. That's faith in action. Amen. Father God, thank you for the challenge. Thank you for the challenge of just taking ourselves off the throne and becoming servants and serve like you. And in the moment we do that, we see you and we see your face. Help us to see that in our loved ones all around us every day. Help us to see that in the faces of those that we meet, those who struggle and those who need. Help us to follow the pattern. In Jesus' name we pray.